Syphilis Cases Spike, Health or Worldview Crisis, written by and recorded by David E. Smith. Officials at the Cook County Department of Public Health are sounding the alarm about a spike in syphilis cases, particularly congenital syphilis, in which this malady is passed to a preborn baby. The rise in the sexually transmitted infection, STI, is not just a regional problem, but rather a nationwide one. Earlier this year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services warned that cases of syphilis in the U.S. are at a 70-year high. Apparently, the comprehensive sex ed taught to young children in most public schools is failing miserably since proponents promised it would reduce STIs. The immoral sex ed being taught to millions of children in public schools include affirming the LGBTQ+ lifestyle. In Illinois, history classes also teach affirmation of the roles and accomplishments of so-called sexual minorities. In fact, the law requires students to be proficient in this biased history to receive an 8th grade diploma. It's no wonder STIs are increasing. Children and young adults are experimenting with dangerous sexual behaviors as a direct result of what they have been taught. According to the most recent STI report by the CDC, there has been an 80% jump in the number of syphilis cases between 2018 and 2022. Its spread has been termed a, quote, slow surging epidemic, end quote. While the majority of recent cases are among gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men, it's a disease that can affect anyone who engages in promiscuous activity. As I said, public school sex ed and history courses affirm LGBTQ+ lifestyles. Is it any wonder that curious young teens and adults are putting what they learn into practice? Though less common, syphilis can also spread through blood transfusion, the sharing of needles, and direct non-sexual contact with a syphilis sore. According to WebMD.com, quote, syphilis causes sores, rashes, and other symptoms. If left untreated, it can cause serious long-term problems that affect the brain, eyes, heart, and other organs, end quote. According to this site, if left untreated, quote, syphilis can cause serious health problems and death, end quote. For pregnant women, syphilis can cause miscarriages, premature birth, and stillbirth. Babies also have a high chance of contracting syphilis in the womb. The disease can cause infant death, organ damage, fetal anemia, heart failure, seizures, damaged vision and hearing, and long-term health and developmental complications for surviving babies. This alarming trend has triggered a response from local, state, and federal health officials who are sounding the alarm in hopes of curbing the spread of this preventable disease. Even the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has been sounding the alarm with a billboard stating, quote, eye syphilis is serious, end quote, with a close-up of bloodshot eyes. The top story on the Cook County Department of Health's website highlights this concern with the title, quote, syphilis stops with me, end quote. Unfortunately, the link to, quote, how to reduce your risks of getting syphilis before and during your pregnancy, end quote, is at the bottom of the page. You would think that this risk avoidance message would be front and center. Yet, at least they are being honest about the absolute best solutions for STIs. Quote, the only way to completely avoid sexually transmitted infections, including syphilis, is not to have vaginal, anal, or oral sex, end quote. This page also includes 3 bullet points recommending monogamy, the use of condoms, which can be ineffective, and syphilis testing. Of course, the latter 2 assume non-monogamous behavior. Earlier this week, WBEZ's Sasha Ann Simons aired an interview about this epidemic with Dr. Kimberly Stanford, Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Chicago. When asked about why we are seeing the spike in syphilis cases, Dr. Stanford honestly responded, saying, quote,
I think there are social trends that play into a lot of this.
She goes on to explain.
And then there became the, you know, sort of more sexual freedom, birth control pills, all of those things that came in the, you know, the 70s, 80s. And so we started seeing people being less careful about their sexual practices. And then along came HIV. And when HIV came at first, people were scared. And so all of a sudden now people were being more careful again. And when you're more careful, not only do you prevent HIV transmission, but you prevent transmission of all the other STIs, including syphilis. So then we saw that kind of that decrease again. And then HIV became a treatable disease, and we started having HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, so prevention for HIV. And at the same time, syphilis numbers had gotten so low that I think public health to some extent let our guard down.
Her points about sexual freedom, birth control, and sexual practices should not be overlooked. Syphilis, like all STIs, is connected to risky sexual behavior and foolish choices. Let's use the politically incorrect phrase, sinful sexual behavior. But Dr. Sanford doesn't lay the blame there. She states that, in her opinion, government officials dropped the ball.
We stopped doing those campaigns for publicity. We stopped making sure everybody was getting screened because the numbers had gotten low. And so our priorities and our funding moved elsewhere. And so then it started to creep up on us over the last 20 years as people have been sort of less concerned about the safe sex practices, knowing that HIV wasn't as big of a concern, that it could be treated and prevented so well. And at the same time, we have less resources going towards syphilis because it had largely disappeared.
Screening for STIs and promoting so-called safe sex is an inadequate way to deal with the spread of syphilis. It does nothing to address the root cause, but only mitigates the consequences of promiscuity. Of course, there's a political side to this public health concern. The secular worldview, as articulated by Dr. Sanford in this interview, is that syphilis, quote, can affect anyone, end quote, but that it is specifically, quote, affecting people who have limited access to care, end quote. She goes on to say,
so syphilis can affect anyone, and we see it across the lifespan. I think what we are seeing is that this is an infection that is affecting people who have limited access to care. So we see this affecting people in much the same patterns as many other conditions. So people who are traditionally marginalized, people who are underinsured, who may not be accessing routine primary care for their annual visits. And what that means, too, is racial and ethnic minorities. We've traditionally thought of syphilis as an infection that more affects men. And so women have been underscreened, and now we're seeing a huge increase among women. And so I think what we really need to start thinking about is how do we reach these populations that really have, they're disproportionately affected by many conditions because they have difficulty accessing care.
In response, host Sasha Ann Simons points out that
in Chicago, Black residents bear a disproportionate share of the burden, representing 86% of congenital syphilis cases that were diagnosed between 2020 and 2022. So to your point, yes, affecting racial and ethnic minorities the most.
Sexually transmitted infections do not care about one's socioeconomic conditions or ethnicity. If we agree that abstinence and monogamy are the unassailable solutions, why promote secondary, less effective measures? Are we that foolish and proud to ignore this standard because it's biblical, traditional, or conservative? When asked about the solutions to this problem, Dr. Sanford responds,
I think it's a combination. I think public health funding, which is now coming, we're now seeing more and more of that for campaigns for awareness, for testing, for screening for folks, really making sure that healthcare personnel know that this is a problem, because there's still an issue with even people in the healthcare field not realizing syphilis has kind of made this resurgence. So educating people that they need to be testing their patients, and educating consumers, educating communities that they need to make sure that they are seeking out this testing, that they are using safe sex practices to prevent it in the first place. And that means condoms every time.
Throwing more tax dollars at the problem is not the answer. STI screenings are not the answer. Safe sex messaging is not the answer. Following God's design for sex, marriage, and family is the answer. Dr. Sanford goes on to warn that
congenital syphilis, which is the syphilis that is transmitted to babies from mothers, is 100% preventable.
The secular worldview solution is, in many ways, nonsensical. One solution favors STI testing after the would-be victim engages in risky sexual behavior. All this does is determine whether the infection has been acquired. It does nothing to reduce or eliminate the risks. Since cases of syphilis are on the rise in Chicago and across the United States, you would think health and public policy officials would be jumping up and down, loudly emphasizing the tried and true antidote to promiscuity: abstinence before marriage and monogamy thereafter. But they're not interested in addressing the root of the problem: sinful choices. The most effective remedy to this outbreak and every social ill facing society can be found by acknowledging and following God's model for life. Building and holding fast to a biblical worldview will equip us to identify the lies of our culture. We would be wise to make this a priority personally, in our homes, and with our children. Romans 12:2 urges us not to follow the world's patterns, for example, their worldview, and to instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Scripture also warns us repeatedly not to be deceived. In 1 Corinthians 6:9 and in 1 Corinthians 15:33 and James 1:16. The only way we can thwart deception or identify a corrupt worldview is by knowing God's truth. In our day, Christians must understand how vitally important it is to be rooted in the one place where we can be confident we will find the truth: the Word of God. Knowing God's Word is essential to building a biblical worldview. See also Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, Colossians 2, verse 8, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, all of which speak to the importance of a Christian worldview.